1, verse 1. I just want to go on record and say, if my wife gets carpal tunnel, it's because I talk too long while she's playing. I'll admit it right now. Psalms 121, verse 1 through 3, and then we'll read verses 7 and 8. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, which means he won't let you slip. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And I think here it is. I knew I got all my, somehow or another, I had just had a whole bunch of verses out of place and drove me nuts. I just figured it out though. So hang on a second. So I'm going to read verse 4 too. Be patient. Don't be anxious. Don't speak ill of me behind your breath. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Amen. I want to preach to you for a couple minutes just on this one single word. Help.
Lord, we come before you asking you to be in this place. Lord, that you would speak through Pastor, and that we come in here with our ears open, not our literal ears, but our spiritual ears, God, to be able to take this word in and leave this place with it. Lord, not leave it here. We praise you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Thanks for standing so long. I also recognize if you wind up with a bad back, it's because I talked too long as well. I just realized that my verses weren't on a plate, so I'm trying to put some things back in place. That's the problem when you do too many things at one time. So, bear with me for 1 second, because I like things to be in place. They'll still be somewhat out of place, but it'll be partially in place enough for you to understand. I want to make one statement to you, and I hope that you'll take it and you'll do something with it. If you go to hell, it's only because you refuse to ask for help. And I'm not going to be the preacher that's going to let you forget about eternity in the midst of all of your crazy lives. There is no reason any person in this world ought to go to hell. There's no reason anybody in this world ought to be lost. There's no reason anybody should ever backslide. There's no reason anybody should ever walk away, feel defeated. No reason anybody should ever commit suicide. There's no reason anybody should ever walk away from truth. If you do, it's for one reason and one reason alone. Because you refuse to ask for help. That's it. I'm here to tell you today that God is a big God. Now, I know some of you people who have given up already, and you're not all here. I understand. Hopefully, a few of them are home watching or not watching Biggest Loser or whatever else. Or certainly, they're not cooking steaks. We don't want that to be happening right now either. But I know that people get upset at me, and they get frustrated because people don't want to be pushed. And so they get frustrated when you won't let them live in their own mess of their own doing. People get annoyed at you. Trust me, I've dealt with it for many years now. I think I just shared with you recently. If not, I share with another group. But I had people during COVID quit church because I was trying to preach about faith, and they told me that I was only preaching about faith because they weren't coming to church and I was insinuating they didn't have faith, so they quit church. So that's what I'm telling you. You can't preach anything, so I just preach and it just don't even matter. Because I've learned there is no balance in preaching, just truth, that's it, and we'll let the chips fall where they may. Now, I don't say what I say to make anybody feel bad, to make anybody feel like a loser, to make anybody feel like a failure. I say what I say simply as a matter of fact, and that is God is a big God. He is bigger than our understanding. He is bigger than our comprehension. He's bigger than what you can grasp when you get in the Word. He's bigger than your situation. He's bigger than anything that you can imagine. And the only reason people will be lost or will continue in the puke of their life is because they simply won't ask for help. David, of all people, begins by saying, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. That means he decided I'm not going to walk around my head hung low anymore. He made a decision. Now you hear me for a second. He made a decision. I'm not going to walk around and pout. And I'm not going to walk around and moan and groan and complain and whine about how bad my life is and oh poor me. I'm just telling you what David did. I'm not talking about anybody right now. And so he said in beginning this, I don't know, words of encouragement, probably to himself, but that he passed on to us. He said, I'll lift up my eyes into the hills. That's where my help comes from. Now, let me continue to waste my breath because I feel like wasting some tonight. Your help does not come from your next door neighbor. Your help does not come from the psychologist or the psychiatrist. Your help does not come from the internet. It doesn't come from YouTube shorts. It doesn't come from anything. It doesn't come from a vacation. Your help comes from the Lord. And David was well aware. So he said, I lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. And I know, I feel like somebody here today, you're saying within yourself, that's easy for you to say. I wish I'd get some honest folks when I feel these things, because I know what I feel. I've done it long enough. I hear people sometimes talking in the spirit. That's easy for you to say, right, because you know my life, and because you know where I came from, and because you know what God has and has not brought me through, right? It's not easy for anybody to say. But at some point in our lives, especially when we know the Lord, we have to come to the place where we say, I do not have to live like this. I don't have to live under the weight of all this nonsense. I don't have to live under the weight of sin. That's one of the biggest ones. Oh, God don't want nothing to do with me. Oh, stop having a pity party. He wants something to do with you a couple thousand years ago before you were ever born. He wants something to do with you. That's why he went to Calvary, to make a way for you to cry out for help. That's why he did it. Let me listen to the old devil telling you he don't want nothing to do with you. He wants everything to do with you. He gave everything. He gave more than anybody in your life has ever given for you. And anybody beyond your lifetime will ever give for you. And don't forget who gave it all to you. He did. Now, I'm of course only talking to the people who want an escape from their sin, not the people that want to continue to live in sin. You know, obviously, if you want to continue to live in sin, you don't want the Lord's help because you want to live in sin. Apologize, 2023, we don't preach against sin anymore. My bad. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Now, when you read the Bible, you've got to believe. Am I boring you yet? You have to believe that every word is very meticulously placed. So David says, my help comes from the Lord. And as if he wants to remind himself, he made heaven and earth. He can help me. This is not just a fabricated God. He's not just a story God. This is God who has been and always will be. And he made the heaven and the earth. I promise you, he can help me. He will not suffer my foot. He won't let me slip. He'll keep me from, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. He's not sleeping when your life's falling apart. He hasn't gone on vacation and forgot about you. No, he knows exactly where you are. What is he waiting for? For you to ask for help. He's waiting for you to humble yourself a little bit and ask for help. He's waiting for us to stop whining about our situation and ask for help. Certainly, you'd rather be beyond your mess and out of your circumstance rather than spend the rest of your life whining and depressing everybody else around you. Now, I got to take an intermission for a couple seconds. Because, again, as a preacher, it don't matter what you preach. There's people sitting here right now and they're thinking, my God, he had to just preach this message just to get to me, didn't he? Well, the answer would be yes, but you're not that important. It wasn't picked for one person. I'm being honest. I mean, technically, you are that important, but if it offends you, I might as well say you're not that important. You see how you can't win as a pastor? You say you're not. They get offended at you for preaching what you're preaching. And maybe not always offended, maybe just upset or a little frustrated or whatever. And then when you say you're not that important, they get offended at you for saying, oh, so I'm not that important, huh? Well, fine, I won't come back. I'm just telling you what we go through. What I'm saying is I'm preaching what the Lord gave me. I was in prayer in my office, and I just felt the Lord say, help. And I said, okay, God, that's what I'm going to preach tonight then. I'm going to go tell these people they need to ask for help. And you need not have too much pride to ask for help. It ain't because of you or your situation. It's for anybody that wants to grab a hold of it. Anybody that needs a lifeline. Anybody that needs a way out. Anybody that believes that he is and he is able and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And anybody that doesn't have too much pride to say, help me. Help me. So hard about that. I mean, you know, you go online and you go to some of those TV guys and they want you to send $20 or $30 before they send you an anointed cloth. It's the truth. You go to the psychologist and I don't know, they're making $90,000-$100,000 a year. They want $150-$250 for their session. You go to the psychiatrist, they want more. You go to the doctor, he's living on, $600,000-$700,000 a year. Now, I realize he don't set the price for the medicine, but they probably have some wiggle room. They can probably bump it up some. I was in sales. I know how all that stuff works. I'm serious. Why do you think sometimes if you pay cash, you can get it cheaper? If you pay for your insurance, it's more. But the Lord says, I don't want nothing. You don't have to put an offering in the plate. He just says, just ask. That's all you got to do. Just somebody call out unto me. He's not looking for anything. He's not looking for a return. He's not looking for anything. He just says, if you ask, I'll be there. If you'll ask me, I'm willing to step into your situation. And no. Well, yeah, I want God to help. No, that's not asking for help. No. Now, we'll talk in a moment about why people don't ask, but just give me a few minutes. And so, the Lord is thy keeper. That don't mean anything to you. Do you know why it doesn't mean anything to you? Because you read the Bible too fast and without any passion, without any understanding of what's in the words. He is thy keeper. That should tell me that he's got me. He's got me. He's got me covered. He's got my back. He's able and he's willing. He's my keeper. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. There's nothing day or night that can get to you without the Lord stepping in and intervening if need be. Well, why, Pastor, am I going through all this? Because you won't ask for help. I like that, Chantel. We should have made them a little deeper, though. Maybe like just a finger sticking up out of the water. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. He'll preserve you when you leave. He'll preserve you when you come. He'll preserve you when you wake up. He'll preserve you when you go to sleep. He watches over you and you don't know He's watching over you. He's watching over you in your sleep at nighttime. The Lord is your keeper. He is your help. And God help us if we call ourselves a child of God or a Christian, but we won't allow His word to breathe life into our lives. We won't allow His word to be real to us, to be alive in my life, in my situation, in my circumstance. Listen to a couple of these, and these are the ones I kind of messed up and took them out of context. 1 Samuel 2 and 9, when Hannah gave Samuel to the Lord, she said, He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. No. I'm just going to probably cut that portion of the scripture out, because everybody thinks that they can do it. I can do it. I'll be okay, Pastor. It's all right. I got this, Pastor. Don't worry about me. By strength shall no man prevail. You're not going to prevail because of your education. You're not going to prevail because of your muscles. You ain't going to prevail because of your height or your good looks. You're not going to prevail because you have some prestigious position in society. By strength shall no man prevail. If you're going to prevail, you're going to prevail because of the strength of the Lord. Because the hand of God, that's why you will prevail. It won't be because you work your fingers to the bones. It won't be because you got 14 jobs. You will die and you will prevail not by strength, but by His hand and by His might. I'm trying to convince you. I don't feel like I'm doing a really good job. In Proverbs 3 and 23, when it talks about finding wisdom, it says, "Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely. And thy foot shall not stumble." Sounds like something David wrote up there. And he said, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Thy foot shall not stumble." Verse 26 says, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." The Lord shall be thy confidence. I'm not good at explaining things. I wish I was better. When you have hope, hope is not just blind. Hope literally, in my humble opinion, is attached to something tangible. That's why when you've got people that their hope is in their abilities, that's the tangible that their hope is attached to. I'll find a way. I'll make a way. I've been here before. I got out of it, then I'll get out of it now. Ain't going to happen. Eventually, it's going to catch up to you. But Proverbs said, "The Lord shall be thy confidence." The reason I don't live in despair, and the reason I don't live walking on my lip, and the reason I wake up every day and have all the confidence in the world is because the Lord is my confidence. Because I know that there is nothing that's too hard for God. It ain't just a story to me. I don't just say it and utter it or post it on Facebook. I believe it with all of my heart. My confidence is in Him. That's why I know it's going to be all right. That's why I know the world will be okay in the end. That's how I know who wins in the end, because the Lord is my confidence. Psalms 91 and 5 says, might be too much scripture for you, I don't know, I'm sorry. It says, "The Lord is my refuge. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night." Someone just told me today that they had a nightmare last night about being killed. They said they used to have nightmares all the time. If you're a person that has nightmares, or you're a person when you're home by yourself and there's fear, and I know that we wouldn't admit who we are, but there's plenty of us here. It's because the Lord is not your confidence. Because He said, "You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." I get a lot of arrows during the daytime, just to be honest with you. I get a lot of arrows. I drive down the road and I feel arrows. It don't bother me. I just keep on trucking. "Nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness." Now, I don't mean to make anybody feel bad or ashamed or anything. That's my honest God's opinion. Because I know that COVID rocked the world. But according to my book, I will not be afraid for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. It ain't going to scare me. I wasn't scared into shutting our doors. I wasn't scared into doing anything that I didn't want to do. It's not going to happen. You can tell me that the world's dropping like flies, and that's not going to change my opinion one bit. Because I'm not afraid of the things I can't see. I've got more confidence in the God that's behind the scenes. You see, about 20% agree with me. Isaiah 49 and 10, when speaking of Israel's restoration, says, they shall not hunger nor thirst. Neither shall the heat nor the sun, or the sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. If you've ever found yourself complaining because you don't have groceries, you don't know the Lord the way you think you do. I'm just telling you, you don't know the Lord the way you think you do. Well, you tell me, I'm telling you. And I'm telling you, the book says it right here. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor the sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. God will always supply. He will always provide. There is never a moment, Pastor, my cupboards are pretty bare. You're still living and you might need to lose some weight, probably. I'm just being honest. I need to lose some weight, too. I really got them all offended now, man. I did it. I didn't have to say that. Hey, I'm talking to myself. I am. I am on a weight loss journey. Ask my wife. Am I not? Did I not tell you I'm going to lose weight? Thank you. She's like, don't tell them you know me right now. Thank you, Jerome. He'll provide. Oh, stop being so sensitive. What verse was I reading? 49:10? Okay. Deuteronomy 28:6. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Reiterating what we've already read. Proverbs 2:8. He that keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. He preserves the way of his saints. Proverbs 3:6. Trust in the Lord. Speaking of trusting in the Lord, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, chances are there's somebody sitting here today, just because of the laws of average, that has felt as of late at some point that you just didn't know what to do. Any honest people? A couple of you. Thank you. And I would just simply say to you, trust in the Lord. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Lord, I know that you haven't forgotten me. I know that you haven't abandoned me. I know that you've got this whole situation already planned out, because the Bible says that you have directed my path, that you keep my path, that you are my keeper as a whole. How about some word, folks? Bring it up in your prayer. And so, which one did I just read? Proverbs 3:6. He shall direct thy paths. He shall. That's not enough for us, though, is it? We have to have something obvious in our face. A letter from the government saying that you've got another stimulus check coming. And then, oh, the Lord has blessed me. Going to the gas station. You might want to come play for me for a couple minutes if you don't mind. Because I'm not backing off when I need some help. Going to the gas station, coming out of the gas station. Here's a $5 one. Give me five more, please. I know that sounds... I think I even got Chris nervous. Are you nervous?
Oh, that's good.
Now, I don't mean that. I truly don't mean that to sound cruel. I really don't. But the problem is, some people spend their whole life... When I'm in the gas station and I see people buying their tickets, I honestly want to ask them, how long have you been scratching those tickets? How much you want? That's what I want to ask them. I've asked a few people a few times. I'll ask anybody anything. It just don't even matter anymore. Really. I got nothing to lose. You say, well, if they kill you, the Lord's got my... He'll cover me. They can't kill me unless God wants them to kill me. So I'm not worried about it. You think I'm joking, though, but I'm not. Okay, let me say it nicely. Don't have hope in that little lottery ticket. That's not your ticket out. I guarantee you've lost more than you've won.
Well, Pastor, but, you know, so-and-so, they just, you know, they scratched their whole life and they just won $20 million.
Well, good for them. One out of what is it? I don't know. Who cares? I really don't care. I probably wouldn't buy a lottery ticket if they told me my odds were 1 in 100 to win. I probably wouldn't waste my time. You know why? Because I just feel like when you're sitting there scratching that little thing, you're just saying, my hope is not in the Lord. That's what I feel. I'd rather go to my grave broke than look to this world and all their illicit ways to try and get a few extra bucks somewhere. That's the way I feel about it. I'm being serious as I can be. Psalms 46 and 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, if we believe that, if we believe, and I'm sorry if I've offended you right now, just pray for me. But if we believe that He is a present help in trouble, then why aren't we asking for help? Why aren't we doing the most basic thing? This is the most basic message I could preach. It's because it's the most basic of things. All you've got to do is ask for help. That's it. If your cupboard's empty, ask God for help. If the checkbook's a little thinning out, ask the Lord for help. If you got some sicknesses in your body, ask the Lord for help. If you got an addiction, ask the Lord for help. If your marriage is a mess, ask the Lord for help. Well, I've been asking. Keep on asking and keep asking and keep asking until He does something. Be like blind Bartimaeus and keep crying out, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. But we let the devil do his doing. Give me a tissue, please. We let him do his do. You say, well, why don't you use your hanky? Because I'm not wiping my nose and then my mouth with the same thing. That's gross. Really?
It's gross.
He is our refuge and strength. I just don't feel like I got any more fight in me, Pastor. Well, you haven't gone to your strength yet. Your refuge. There is no better place to be. If you got a gaming room in your house, if you got yourself a little pretty movie theater in your house, if you got yourself a weight room, you should have a prayer room. Oh, I have to say this. I've got to say it. If you have a smoking lounge, you should have a prayer room. I'm just being honest. He is our refuge. There's no better place in the world to be. We're just too busy, Pastor. Well, that's your problem. I'm not being cruel. I'm just being honest. You can make your life less busy. You can cut something out. If I got to pick between, you know, between basketball and prayer time, basketball got to go. Now, if you can juggle them both, wonderful. Those of you who take your children to 97 sports in a week, God bless you. Do you have a prayer life? What's your children's mental condition? How is their life? Oh, Holy Ghost, let me preach now. You don't have to let me preach, but the Lord will let me preach. You don't touch the Holy Grail sports. Thank you. You don't do that. I know the world that I live in. We're walking through Dick's Sports the other day. Someone got me a gift card for it, and thank you, and you're kind. And I'm looking, I'm like, my God. I want to play. If I want my kids to play baseball, there's about $100, $150 for a helmet, You want to buy, you know, gloves, $300-$400 for a baseball glove? $700 for a bat? And we're like, well, how do people afford this stuff? Well, when it's the Holy Grail, you make money, you make time and money for it. That's true. You put your, I just hope you don't come to church and complain when the offering plate gets passed around. That could be proof of an idol in your life. No, I apologize. I was too easy on you. That is proof of an idol. Now, I don't care what you give. I'm just telling you, when you learn that the Lord is your refuge and He is your strength. Hey, I got kids in football. I got kids playing basketball. It don't come down on me now. But I'm just saying, when that's your world and you don't have time to pray, your walk with God is completely misaligned and it's upside down, and it will come back to haunt you somewhere. Haunt you. It's a present help in time of trouble. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Have I taken too much time? I'm almost done. Just give me a few minutes. Be still and know that I am God. What does that mean? Stop acting so irrational. Stop acting all crazy. Stop going to the bar stool. Yes, I'm preaching to you. Yes. Be still and know that I am God. I'm going to walk around just so I make sure that you don't hide from me while I'm preaching. You got those? Where's the verses? Brad's like, I'm being still back here. Psalms 46 and 10. And then we'll read verse 11. Be still, know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Your testimony is what brings glory to God. Why would God want to do it? Because He gives you a testimony. And when He gives you a testimony, you share the testimony. And when you share the testimony, people have hope in the very same God that you are serving. And but when your life is falling apart, do me, Jesus, the church, and everybody a favor, and don't talk about Him out in public. Now, that sounds harsh. I'm being serious as I can be. If your world is an absolute chaotic mess and you got no control over anything anywhere, please don't go out there and tell anybody, I know the Lord. Because they're going to be like, well, my God, if that's the Lord and you know, I don't want no part of Him. When I think about knowing the Lord, I think about stability. I think about peace. I think about hope. I think about the joy of the Lord. I'm preaching and I'm not going to stop. Might be my last time I get to preach to you. Who knows? That's the truth. We need to be an example and a witness for the goodness of God. They need to look at me and you can say, look what the Lord has done. Not look what the Lord hasn't done. You've got a world out there. They're looking for answers. They're desperate. They need to see you and see the answers. That's why you need to be still and know that He is God. That's why you need to make Him your refuge. That's why you need to cry out for help. So when God steps into your life and He begins to work, the world can see God working in your life. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So you see, serving God is much easier than we make it. It really is. It all hinges on one little thing. One little thing. Our willingness to ask for help. That's it. You don't need to give an offering for the Lord to step into your life. Now, God loveth a cheerful giver, and you can take that up with the Lord. But I'm just saying, you don't have to give an offering for the Lord to step into your life. You don't have to buy an anointed cloth or an anointed holy water. It ain't holy. It's unholy water. That's what it is. Any reprobate that will go out there and sell little vials of water and tell you totally, they're a reprobate and it's unholy. You don't need that garbage. But see, now watch this. I'm finishing. I'm sorry. Am I okay? Just a couple minutes. It's a whole lot easier to put my trust in a little bottle of water. I'll give $20. That's no problem. If it'll do something for me, then it is the trust in the Lord. I can see the water. I can't see the Lord. It's a lot easier. People feel a lot better about themselves. Just being truthful. It's not hard. But what do we do when people have forgotten how to fight? What do we do? You can say a lot of things about me. You can say I'm ugly. You can say I'm looking fat. You can tell me how a lady years ago said, you got a weird body. People say anything to the pastor. Anything at all. Trust me. I have nightmares. No, see, you're like, oh, I thought you said the Lord will come. He'll be with you in the terror by night. Oh, he was. Thank God. So you can say all you want to say, but I'll tell you one thing you cannot say. When I go to my grave, you better say that man was a fighter. Because that's all I know how to do. And I'm willing to fight. I'll fight for you. I will fight for me. I'm going to fight for my kids. I'm going to fight for my wife. I'm going to fight for everybody on this platform. I will fight until I got no fight left in me. Why? Because I think it's a worthy fight. And because I believe what the Lord can do and will do. But see, we got to think, you got to think there's a fight worth fighting. You can't grow up in dysfunction, in brokenness like I did. And then just say, well, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way my father was, the way my mother was, the way I'm going to be. No. Absolutely not. I'm not leaving my kids in a bar. Actually, I'm not even going to the bar. You know why I'm not going to the bar? Because I'm stronger in my mind than that. I don't need the bar. I don't need the booze. I don't need the alcohol. I don't need it. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just telling you the Lord is my strength. He's my strength in my mind. He's the strength of my spirit. He's the strength of my body. The Lord will help you push past your ailments. He'll help you push past all of your wounds because God has a way of doing things that nobody in the world can do. But I don't ask anybody for anything, Pastor. I'm independent. I don't ask anybody for anything. Well, you're going to die independent too. And God's going to bring you to the place where you have to ask somebody for something. Because God wants us to ask. I hope I haven't offended anybody. I really haven't meant to. I can do it on my own. No, you can't. No, you can't. I seen a bunch of nimwit young girls the other day. They're like, really, they didn't do any just cause for the female gender. I'll just put it that way. They didn't represent you well. We can do it our own selves. We can do it by ourselves. We don't need anybody. We don't need anybody. We can do it ourselves. No, you can't. No, you can't. You just can't. That's the way God made us. He didn't make us that way. Man,
I don't need anybody's help. I'll figure it all out by myself.
Can I make a very honest statement right now without trying to hurting or offending anybody? I listen to me. I'm being honest and sincere, so please don't take this personally. But if that's you, sir, and you lean on drugs or alcohol or cigarettes, you've just lied to yourself. If you lean on other addictions, listen, telephones have become addictions. Just as bad as drugs. That this is my escape. Well, that shouldn't be your escape. Your escape should be your prayer room. That needs to be your escape. I'm only saying that because I know what God can do. And I know that if you believe it and you buy into it, when trouble comes knocking on your door and you make it a habit of running into your prayer room rather than running to the bar, or rather than running over to somebody else's house and gossiping about everybody, when you make those things habits, you'll be amazed what God will do in your life. You won't have to be miserable. You won't have to be broken. Your world doesn't have to be broken. Your home doesn't have to be broken. You're not listening. Anybody, I've said this 1,000 times and I'm finishing. Anybody that's the recipient of the miraculous in the Bible asked for help. Anybody was. The lepers, the blind men, and blind Bartimaeus. The Syrophoenician woman who came to the seashore and met Jesus. The centurion soldier who asked for help for his child. The list goes on. I'm trying to look and see what else I've got written down here. The demon-possessed mute man. The ruler's daughter that was dead. Listen. Anybody that ever had a miracle asked for help. Now, I'm going to say this. If you don't learn to ask God for help, and this is where I get myself in trouble, because then everybody says, well, that's why I'm calling you, Pastor. I didn't say that, did I? I never said that. But if you won't ask God for help, you're going to kill the laborers of the church, because they're going to try and help you. And you'll kill them. It's one thing to help guide people. It's one thing to help give advice. But when you lean on people more than you lean on God, you'll never be free. You'll never be delivered. There is no preacher in the world, I don't care how great of a preacher you think he is, there's no preacher in the world that can do what God can do. None. Nobody. Not a one. They're not miracle men. They're just vessels. That's it. That God uses, nothing more. God works through them. He works through women. God works through people, but it's still God that does it all. When you read 1 Corinthians, it says the same Spirit works through all of us when it's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. It's all still one Spirit, the Spirit of God. When we cry out for help, this is where I'm going to close. When we cry out for help, what we're doing is we're placing God over us and we're placing ourselves under Him, which validates God as God. Now, you probably know well that the Israelites, it is duly noted that they had a major problem. And I probably went too long, I'm sorry. They had a major problem with idolatry. But oftentimes we don't talk about that idolatry. They weren't building, in some cases, in some time errors, there were times they were building altars and incense, but other times it wasn't so. They just became their own gods because they would no longer look to God as their God. What you don't understand is if you don't need God, you become a god to yourself. You do. You think you can fix your problems. I'll just work harder. I'll just get another job. I'll just go home and sell this, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. And you're becoming a god to yourself. When all the Lord wants is for you just to ask for help. I feel like I've bored you. Would you stay with me for a minute? At the risk of really frustrating those of you that hear my stories 1,000 times, I'm going to say it another time. And in 2008, there's somebody here that hasn't heard this. Or someone needs to hear it again. And Brother Chris, you'll remember that because you're the one I called. I went through a really, really horrible time. And I picked up the phone and I went to text. It may have been Brother Chris, I don't remember. Asked him to pray for me. And I closed the phone after I typed the text message out. And I opened it back up. I typed the whole thing out again. You'd think I'd be smart enough just to copy it. I could just paste it, but I wasn't that smart. And it wasn't a smartphone anyway. I typed it out. Before I went to hit send, I closed it up. I did it a third time. Pause. 4 years earlier, when I did not have enough money to pay my minister's dues because I left full-time employment to invest ourselves in the church, had no money. I had to go back before the board, and they told me they would reinstate my license, but they told me, you have a pride issue. And I thought they were crazy. I told people they were crazy. I respected them, but I said, they're crazy. If they've ever missed it, they've missed it. Well, after I closed that phone 4 years later, for the third time, the Lord took me immediately into that boardroom and said, that is your problem. You won't ask for help. And that became a monumental moment in my life. Now I ask anybody anything. Anything. Some of you know that all too well. It's not a crime to ask for help. You're not offending God. You're not overloading God. You're not upsetting God. You're not putting too much on God. He's God. And He wants to be your help. You just have to learn one thing and one thing alone. Help. Peter walked out of the boat And when the things of life begin to take his eyes off the Lord, because that's when you begin to sink. When the things of this life, the storms of life begin to take your eyes and you focus off. I'm still focused on the Lord. No, you're not. You wouldn't sink if you're focused on the Lord. Wouldn't happen. And when Peter began to look at the waves and the winds, he began to sink. And Jesus, just for those of you who've never heard this, Jesus never reached down to help Peter. Get that out of your brain. Never. Oh, you're sinking, let me help you. Nope. He stood there. Now, I don't know how low Peter got. I'd probably say he's about that low. Yeah, he might have to be a little bit higher because he asked, finally said, Lord, help me. And when he asked for help, the Lord reached down and took him by the hand and picked him up and walked him back to the boat. All you have to do is ask for help. Would you close your eyes with me for a moment? Lord, if I have butchered any of this message, I apologize. But I know what I know, and I know that there are people here that need help tonight. Oh God, I pray that they won't have so much pride they won't ask you for help. I pray that they'll understand the value of just crying out for help. You are an ever-present help in time of trouble. You are our refuge. You are our keeper. You are our strength. You are our high tower. You are everything that we need. I'm not suggesting, Lord, that there are not things in this life that you have placed here to help us. But not when those things take your place. You want to be our help. Lord, let somebody here tonight, I pray, really get it in their spirit that you want to help them. Let them get it in their spirit that you want to help them, that you are able, that you will, that you can. As we preached on Sunday, God, let their vision be renewed again. Let it be restored again, God. Don't let us get so focused on all of the ugly of this life that we lose sight and we won't even ask you for help. And if we don't need help today, there will be a time tomorrow that we'll need help. Whatever it might be, God, I pray that we'll always remember this one word, help. Help me. Help me, Jesus. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Help me. I can't see. Help me. My heart is hurting. Help me. My family is hurting. Help me, God. We're hurting as a whole. Help me, God. We need direction. Help me, Lord. I need strength. Help me, Lord. I need picked up again, God. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Would you come if you want the Lord to help you? We'll pray with you if you'd like us to. Because we want to help you too. But we need you to know that the Lord is your primary help. He's your help. He's your help. He's your help. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, tonight. God, you know what everybody's going through here today. You know. I might not know. Others may not know, but you know, oh God. Oh, let there be help, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're my provider. He'll provide every need. He'll give you victory. He'll give you victory over your situation. He'll be your peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. 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 going to ask Brother Kenny to come up and close us in prayer, and they're going to just sing one more song. But before I came up here tonight, the Lord gave me my message for Sunday. And the title will be something along the lines of "In the Spirit of the Lord." And I'm telling you, the Lord's going to come into this place on Sunday. He's going to move, and people will open up their hearts. So I want you, if you would, to be in prayer about that. I promise I'll be nicer than I was tonight.
Amen. Let's just go ahead and pray together. I don't think God's just done just yet. So let's just pray with some purpose right now. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this powerful message, Lord. Jesus, at one point in time, Lord, there was a place we were all at, Lord, where we had to cry out to help out of desperation. But Lord, we don't want to continue forward like that. We realize every day we need your help, Lord. Every day we leave our homes, Lord, we need to be a reflection of Christ. We need to show people your love, your compassion. We need your help, Lord, just to make it through each and every single day, Father. I pray, Lord, that we not forget where you've brought us from, Lord. I pray we go ahead and open ourselves up. We release our pride, Lord. We release whatever's holding us back from just saying, God, you can have control. You have it, Lord. I just want to surrender to you now, Lord, because I need your help to overcome what this is trying to do to me. I need your help to overcome this brokenness, this addiction, this issue in my life, Lord. We just want to surrender to you, Father, because we know you are able, Lord. Father, we love you and we give you the glory and the honor, Lord. I just pray that liberty pour out, Lord, that release in our mind just be freedom, Lord, that we can trust you, Father, that with love and gentleness you will guide us, you will lead us, and you will free us, Lord. We magnify your name, the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah.
We exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt.
Oh.